out of the jump at spring practice is, well, we're going to try this guy at this position and at this. I'm just like, we need to have people set. Like this moving people around stuff is what's kind of killed us the last couple of years. So it just kind of makes you worried a little bit that we're already switching people around positions.
Second day of spring camp, you're like, yeah, we're moving around our most consistent guy last year. We're sticking. Yeah.
And they're going to throw Mallett. Oh, he's got a man wide open. He totally fooled the Georgia defense. Chris Gregg going to have a sandwich, going to walk in.
Closing in on Emmitt Smith, of all people, and in terms of all-time rushers in the SEC. Looking to pass it. He's thrown four touchdowns. Up for grabs, and there's number five. Johnson with the...
Got to drive it, Brad. You got to drive it. Matt, for maybe the win.
All right, everybody. Welcome in to episode number 2 of the Arkansas Takes podcast. We got a lot of stuff to cover. We got basketball in the SEC tournament. We have baseball playing Ole Miss last night. We got a GM hire. We got my neighbors stepping away from the team. And spring football started, so it's going to be a loaded show. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for all the support on our first video. Over 650 views on our first video. Insane. The more y'all share it, the more it gets out to other people that don't know about us. So, yeah, we just appreciate it so much. We're going to get right into it, though. Arkansas played South Carolina. They beat South Carolina. I was going to say lost to South Carolina, but they did win that game. Thank goodness. Pretty much locked them in the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they played really good that game. And I mean, they gave up that lead at the end, but that's a good South Carolina team that's played a lot of ranked teams close. And it's also just a South Carolina team that's a bad matchup for us. They got a lot of big guys down low, and that's just somewhere we lack unless Adu's down there and playing good, which he has been. So
yeah,
that helped us out a lot that game.
Yep. I mean, yeah, we have big guys. I mean, you brought up Jonas, but our other big guys are, you know, they're not really defend the paint type of guys. They're more stress the floor, shoot the three, you know, pick up the guard on a pick and roll. Well,
you got a big, strong guy. He can muscle him out down low.
Yeah, Jonas played well, 14 points, 11 rebounds, came off the bench and just gave you that spark. I think he started 6 of 7 from the floor. It was insane. I was like, we have a big man. We got a guy that you could see it in this game. Obviously, you saw it. Came on a little bit against Vandy, came on even more against Mississippi State. But this game, they were like looking for him. They were coming up the floor running a set to give it to Jonas in the paint.
And you can see in just the way he plays now, he's more confident. He gets the ball. He knows what he wants to do with it, and he knows where he's going. And that's big for him. And I mean, it's just nice to see him play like that, because the beginning of the season, whether it was his injury issue or confidence, but he wasn't playing like that. He was getting the ball and he looked a little nervous or like he didn't know what to do. But now he gets the ball and he knows what he's doing. He's letting that thing fly from mid-range or he's getting to the paint.
Yep. And Billy gave you a spark, 9 points, hit his first three of the year.
There we go, Billy.
Four assists, 2 rebounds. No turnovers this game. Billy Richmond, no turnovers. I'll take it. Everybody played good. Vonnemir, 4 points, 17 minutes. Kind of nicked up his finger, sat out quite a bit in the second half. 4-for-4 from the free throw line. I think they shot 93% from the free throw line. You're not going to get any better than that. Carter Knox, only 2 points, 1-for-4 on 23 minutes. You'd like to see him do more than that. In Brazil, again, I mean, hitting threes, doing his thing, 7 rebounds, 4 steals. That jumps off the page right there. He's getting active. He's, you know, he makes the plays whenever you need him to. I mean, he got that rebound at the end of the game and kicked it out. And then Nelly passed it over to DJ and hit the three. I mean, went on a scoring drought. I mean, they won the game. They're going to be in the tournament. We're just going to move on. They played then the next day with, you know, 6.5 guys. They play a really good Ole Miss team, lose by 3, come over the ball like crazy, go down 15. I mean, you name it. It was in this game. And they ended up losing it.
Yeah. And that was probably a game that, I mean, you could say that we should have won that game. you can clearly say we should have won that game, but they just, they played so poorly in the first half, all the turnovers, missed free throws, just the deficit they put themselves behind in the first half was just really hard to come back from, and they were able to come back from it. So, I mean, I'm feeling more positives from that game that they fought back against a pretty good Ole Miss team, and Chris Beard's one of the best coaches. So they fight back, come back in that game. Probably should have won it, but I'll take that rest that we're going to get now.
Yep. 6 days, six or 7 days, depending on if they play on Thursday or Friday. Election show is Sunday, so I'll be eager to see. I think they got a set of 10 seed right now. Suited up to play Gonzaga, so we'll see. Everybody played good besides Big Z. He was, again, not a factor. Only eight minutes, no points, 0 for 2. Did have 5 rebounds, but Jonas, again, 17 points, 5 for 8, 8 rebounds. Billy, 15 points. Hit a 3 again, back-to-back games, hit a 3. That's just weird.
He might turn into Steph Curry in March Madness. You never know.
I will say, DJ, he was hitting threes, but he needs to. I mean, he was 0-for-5 against Ole Miss. So, I mean, if he hits a couple of them, that's great. Normally, he doesn't miss that many. He just wasn't shooting the ball that great. 3-for-12 from the floor. I think 15 turnovers, and you shot 65%. You missed 11 free throws. That's the reason why they lost. I mean, and you're playing with, you know, 6.5 guys on no rest. Ole Miss was sitting there waiting for you. So,
and you know, you're talking about DJ missing his threes that game, which is not really a normal thing. And then I was at work during this game, so I only caught bits and pieces, and I tried to watch what I could after work on the replay. DJ, he wasn't taking bad shots. I just feel like they weren't that night for him. That happens.
Yeah,
you're gonna have games like that.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, obviously, next game is gonna be. We're going to have to be ready to go. Hopefully we can get, Sierra back and, you know.
Maybe Boogie, yeah.
Maybe Boogie. Maybe. We'll see.
Hopefully Big Z's healthy as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be, I mean, I'd rather have Big Z healthy than Boogie Flint. My opinion. I mean, if you're going to get one of them, you know, you want Sierra, but we need Big Z. Period.
Yeah. Like,
we need him. So
I really hope Thero's good to go. I mean, he's our leading scorer. That's a big guy to get back for the tournament.
Yeah. We're not going to touch too much on it. I know they got us within the SEC tournament. I mean, they won what they needed to win. It is what it is. They got Lenardi right now has Arkansas. Like I said, a 10 seed suited to play Gonzaga in the Cleveland Regional, and then got Tennessee probably waiting on you in the second round if this is the way the bracket plays out.
We'll see. Playing Caleb Battle. Let's see how, if he's ready to play the Hogs, he'll be fired up. I'm sure he will.
Or he could pull a Ron Mark and not score at all. I would take that.
That's what we can hope for. I know Caleb Battle is their second leading scorer. I've been kind of keeping up with some of the Hogs that transferred out, and he's having a pretty good season for them. So. That'd be a fun game to watch because just for the Arkansas ties. And I think it'll be a good game in general, even if there were no Arkansas ties.
All right. So let's move on to the other basketball program. Mike Nabors steps away from the program. 8 seasons, 56 win percentage. He was 10-22 last year and only 2 NCAA tournament appearances. What do you think? Yeah.
Well, you know, not a very good win percentage, and the last few years it's just been going downhill since those Chelsea Dungy years where we were really good making Sweet 16. I don't know what his struggles have been or why he struggled, but he's recruited pretty well the years after the Chelsea Dungy years. I can't remember the exact year it was, but he's had some big time recruits come through that just end up leaving, or he doesn't utilize them properly and they don't pan out.
Yeah.
And I mean when that happens, it's just, you got to make it happen or you don't, and that's when you got to go, and I think it was about time.
Yeah, I think it was time for both sides. I mean, yeah, he's says he steps away and all that. And, you know, it was just time for them to move on. I mean, they're going to have to invest more into this program if they want him to play better than they are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, it's what it is. Hate it for him. I know that he really wanted this job and he wanted it to be successful. Every coach wants their team to be successful. Obviously, they're, you know, jobs online and everything else, but he really wanted to be here. It was sad to see him go. Just didn't win enough ball games. That's what it comes down to. So, moving on. I mean, we should talk about NIL a little bit. I mean, moving on to, you know, the Arkansas hires GM for the athletic department, Remy Cofield. I know he's the director of scouting in Boston. I know he's the GM for the G League team. That's about all I know.
Yeah, I know he's been in Boston. He worked his way up through the Boston organization since 2012. So, and it's a guy with, what is that now, 13 years of NBA experience. I mean, yeah. Somebody that's just, he's used to working a salary cap or working around that for whatever his job happened to be at the time. So,
yeah, I think I heard someone say like he's like Brad Stevens' guy on over there.
Okay.
And I will say this, having hired this guy, I know a lot of people were worried. He's just the GM of the whole athletic department. This guy's not evaluating talent for the football team. He's not evaluating talent for the baseball team. He's not evaluating talent for the basketball team. He is going to be managing revenue sharing, which is $20.5 million. He's going to be managing that money and facilitating it to assistants that they're going to have for each team. So this guy isn't going to be like, well, this quarterback's really good. We're going to give him this amount. He's not going to. Those assistants are going to evaluate and report to him on, you know, what's what. He's just going to say, you get this much, you get this much. You know, that's what he's doing. So we'll see. I know with the revenue share after this summer, they're changing a couple rules where every single transaction is going to be reported through the athletic department to the NCAA. So I think that's good. I mean, there's not going to be, you know, backroom deals. You can't guarantee money that's over budget from the 20.5 million. So I think that's good. You know,
I think that's just going to make the sport a lot more clear. I mean, we've heard a lot of coaches complaining about it the last few years, and I think the players should get paid. So it's not a payment issue. It's just been so backdoor deals, like you said, or just murky water where it's like, you don't really know what this guy may or may not be getting. Or, I mean, we've seen teams where players like, I was told I would get this. I didn't get it. I'm not playing anymore. I think this new rule, the $20.5 million, basically salary cap, is going to help fix that. And just going to make the sport a lot more clear and more open, transparent.
I think and obviously there's still going to be deals like John Tyson's still going to be able to do deals, but they can't facilitate those deals until those players are on campus signed on the team. So obviously there's still going to be disparity between college programs on who's invested in what, but at least within transfer portal wise, they can't go, you know, to this guy's desk and say, hey, you know, they offered me $500,000. You know, they're coming out with a number. And then whenever they leave your office, they're going to Texas A&M and saying, hey, Arkansas said they'll give me $600,000, you know, and then on and on. And then, you know, I seen an interview with Sam Pittman. He was like, if he sits down at your office, if he leaves, he's taking that number and going somewhere else. And that's the way it is right now. So we'll see. I mean, I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm excited to see who the assistants GMs are going to be and who's going to be actually evaluating the talent and how they use the money and stuff like that.
Also, I want to backtrack real quick on what you said that Cofield, he's not going to be like a talent evaluator for the football team or basketball team or baseball team. But I got to think that Calipari is a great talent evaluator by himself. He don't need the help, but I see Calipari, he'll take the help. I think he knows he's got an NBA guy, someone that knows the NBA really well as he does, maybe. I think it'll be an extra weapon for him. I think Calipari would be smart to use it, and I think he will use it a little bit to his advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with having a guy like that around, you know.
That's been with the Boston Celtics, one of the best organizations recently.
Recently, you know, they won the NBA championship. He's like, hey, I got my ring, I'm getting out.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do something else. You know, but I'm excited. We'll see. I mean, I'll be, like I said, curious to see how it plays out. So, all right, next up, we are going to talk about some spring football. I know everybody's talking about basketball and baseball, and it's great. I mean, tournament's coming up. I'm excited for the tournament, obviously. I'm excited baseball's coming around, but right now it's an important time for football, too. They were in pads yesterday for the first time. We're kind of just going to go over a couple new guys that have came in, a couple of guys that, you know, we think is going to improve the team. And, yeah, so obviously coaching staff's back together. Bobby Petrino, Travis Williams, Sam Pittman. Year two under Bobby. You know, what do you think? Do you think there'll be a bunch of improvement with the offense? Do you think it relies on, you know, certain things or?
It's definitely going to rely on some certain things, but I do think there will be an improvement. I think Talen's going to look a lot better this year in terms of comfortability, commanding the offense, just looking more like an SEC quarterback this year, which not saying he didn't last year. He was an elite talent, clearly, but there are some times where he looked a little nervous or maybe made some mistakes, wasn't comfortable with what he was seeing. I think this year he'll take a big step in just the decision he makes, knowing that that's the decision he wants to make. I think that's going to be a big thing for him this year. But it's just going to rely on, I mean, it's a whole new receiving core, basically. The line's going to switch up a little bit. I think that's just going to be the stuff that it's going to kind of bank on for him, knowing that he has guys he can count on.
Yeah, and I think with Talen in particular, whenever you think about Bobby Petrino, you think about how he wants perfection out of his quarterbacks, for sure. Mm-hmm. The offense is complicated. A lot of stuff. I mean, it would be naive to think that Talen knew everything last year. He's probably a deer in headlights. Number one, he's got to learn all this stuff. And number two, he's facing guys that are two times better than he was playing last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he handled himself well. I think Talen is the type of quarterback that can, you know, I was telling you this last year, he's the type of quarterback that can throw an interception. You'll just be like, what are you doing? And then he'll make a fadeaway 60 yards across his body touchdown pass. I mean, he could take it to the house and he can throw away the game. That was Talen Green last year in a nutshell. So, like you said, another year, a little bit more confidence, and it's going to rely a lot on that offensive line, which is what we're going to get into next.
I wanted to say that I've seen some of the spring footage of Bobby, like, Talen's dropping back to pass and Bobby's pretending to be the pass rusher, get to him. Like, Bobby's got his energy in this. Like, he's not doing that if he's not into it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a big thing. If Talen's fully into it, like, he seems to be like a good leader and everything, and he's studying and doing everything, I know Bobby's right there with him. So, I mean, if they're working that hard together, I feel pretty confident about what they'll accomplish. And last year they were the third best offense in the SEC. Third or fourth. I mean, the way the season went last year, it didn't necessarily feel like that at all times, but I mean, that's how good the offense was last year statistically. I mean, and Talen's saying in his spring interview, he wants to be the highest offense in the nation. I mean,
yeah,
you were already third or fourth last year and you didn't play perfect,
yeah,
great football the whole season. So, I mean, it's not impossible to accomplish that.
There can definitely be improvements, obviously, or we would have won more games than we did. But I think, like you said, I mean, they were already pretty good last year. I think Talen is, and then we'll go to the offensive line, but I think Talen is one of the best leaders, especially at quarterback, that we've had in a little while. I mean, a multiple-year guy, you know. You had KJ. He was good. Didn't, like, jump off the page of being, like, a super passionate leader. Not saying he wasn't, you know, a leader. He just wasn't the guy. And then Felipe, you know, he's kind of
more of a bridge guy.
Yeah. So I think it's good to have another guy back. But, you know, he's going to need some protection. So we got Carmona moving around a little bit, moving around positions. I know you weren't too happy to hear that.
Well, it's just the last couple seasons under Pittman, it's just been like the offensive line has had so many holes and you're switching. That's just not the first thing I wanted to hear that out of the jump at spring practice is, well, we're going to try this guy at this position. And at this, I was like, I'm just like, we need to have people set. Like this moving people around stuff is what's kind of killed us the last couple of years. So it just kind of makes you worried a little bit that we're already switching people around positions.
Second day of spring camp, you're like, yeah, we're moving around our most consistent guy last year. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think Carmona obviously needs to probably move to a guard. He's a little small for a tackle. You got Corey Robinson coming in, top rated pass protector last year in the country. And then Jack McCoy going to play right tackle, 6'8". Bigger guys, you want those guys on the outside. So I don't think it's bad that he's moving. Just the center and guard, and he may be second team tackle and all this other stuff. Just get him inside. That's where he needs to play. Get Robinson and Shaq some reps on the first team on the outside and get this chemistry going. I mean, that's the main thing right now is you got to build chemistry with the offensive line. They got to be able to, Taylen's got to be able to see that, you know, because then if he sees that chemistry, it's going to give him more confidence to, you know, not be panicking in the pocket and all that. So,
yep. And I just to build off what you said, I mean, bringing in those two big transfers at tackle, that kind of helps me. When I originally heard the Carmona moving news, I'm immediately like PTSD, like, oh,
yeah.
But when I take my time and think and don't go into like a negativity spiral, maybe Carmona's a good lineman. So maybe that's good that he's going to move to another position and we have two tackles that are going to step up now and he can move. It'll work out perfectly.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I think Carmona's like a guy. I remember watching him on like Hogs Plus and stuff. He just likes being a Razorback. He likes being with, you know, Coach Pitt. You know, I think he's a good guy to be there. And then these guys come in and be like, oh, okay, yeah, this is cool, you know. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's still really early. Spring game's coming up, so be able to see him in person and check him out. So running back room, Braylon Russell's back, slimmed down a little bit. You got AJ Green back from Oklahoma State last year. So we'll see. I'm glad Braylon's back. He's obviously going to be very good. He was good last year. He's going to probably be even better this year. You would assume so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, having Braylon Russell back is a really big deal for this team and for Taylen.
Yep. And then, like you said he dropped 15 pounds, right? So, I mean, he's getting in pretty good shape. And, I mean, you kind of see the Braylon Russell offseason wasn't ideal. You don't want a guy jumping back and forth. But the fact that every time he did jump in the portal, that he was such a big name, like a lot of people wanted him, I think that says what it says about him, that how good he is. And I mean, he's clearly going to be our lead back this year. And
yeah,
hopefully he has a great season. He had a great season last year when he was playing.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be good. He's going to be really good. I would be blown away if this kid isn't insane next year, especially with having another, you know, another year under his belt, another year with the Petrino off. This, yeah, same thing as Taylen. He's going to have more familiarity with this team. And I think that was another reason why he came back, was obviously, you know, whatever happens in those meetings. But I mean, you love it for him. I'm not complaining. Rohan Jones tied in, transferred in. We lost Lucas to Ole Miss in the portal. He's banged up majority of last year. I mean, it is what it is. I know everybody's, well, you know, there's going to be people that watch this and be like, well, you know, it doesn't really matter about the tight end because we didn't really use him last year. But our number one guy, our preseason All-American, was hurt all year. I mean, he played, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't Lucas his freshman year, that's for sure.
Yeah. And then after every football game last year, I watched the DJ Williams YouTube show where he covers the breakdown film and stuff. And I mean, that's just a guy that when I listen to him talk football, I trust him because he's played for so long. He knows more than me. And he would break down the tight end film of Lucas and Ty Washington. And they both just didn't play very good last year. They're missing blocks. They're not getting open. And then, I mean, I know you said Lucas was hurt. He made some big plays when he could, but most of the season, he was just struggling to get open or make blocks, and I think that has to do with him playing injured. And I don't have a bad thing to say about Lucas for the fact that he did play injured for the Hogs all year. I mean, he didn't have to do that, and he did that. So I got a lot of respect for Lucas, but it's not like our tight ends were playing out of the world last year. And so if these guys can come in and just play average, I think that'll help Talen out. And I don't think Talen really looks for the tight end a lot when he's in the passing game, which might change this year. You never know. But he wasn't getting a lot of production from them last year, whether they were injured or just not playing well.
Yeah. I think what's awesome about that show with DJ is I remember watching it too, and he was in this offense too. He knows the play.
He knows it.
He knows the routes. And it, I mean, he knew from, because I remember the very beginning of the year, whenever I messaged you about starting this podcast, you know, however many months ago, he was breaking down the UAPB game and he's like, well, yeah, we won 70-0 or whatever it was, but the receivers aren't running the right routes here and they're a little too deep here. So, I mean, he knows the playbook. He knows how deep those routes were supposed to be. The signs were there last year that we were already, you know, not on the same page. Now it's a lot to learn, but again, another year. Obviously, we got a lot of new receivers, but, you know, them learning the routes versus quarterback knowing every single play and all that other stuff is totally different. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and go right into receivers since we're talking about routes and stuff. I know you wanted to bring up a couple guys. So,
Yeah, the big transfer coming in is Omega Blake. I saw like an on graphic, I believe, like the top 10, 15 returning receivers in college football, and he made that list.
Wow.
So he's coming to play for us, so hopefully he can establish that connection with Talen. That's the big thing, is you can have talent, but you got to establish that chemistry and connection like he had with Armstrong, which we're not going to have Armstrong anytime soon. Me and you have talked about that, but just a guy that Talen can count on, and those will be where he needs to be open. And I mean, that's a guy that's played SEC football before. He played at South Carolina with Spencer Rattler. So he's been in the SEC. So, I mean, that's a guy that, you know, he can hang.
Yeah. And I mean, you need consistency out of this group of guys, regardless of who steps up. I don't care. We need more than one guy to catch the football. We need more than, well, maybe this guy can, you know, give you 40 or 50 yards. No, we need guys that can. This is a type of offense that obviously we want to establish a run, but whenever you're open, you got to catch the ball. Even whenever, I mean, and in the SEC, whenever you're not open, you need to catch the ball. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the windows are going to be, I mean, he's going to try to fit it in places. Obviously, we know Talen, he's got a little gunslinger in him. He's going to try to put it in there. You just got to be ready. And I mean, I'm excited about Courtney Crutchfield.
Me too.
I know he's a Pine Bluff kid. Redshirt freshman. He didn't really play last year, but, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do. I know, I guess Thursday's practice, he started making a couple plays and people started noticing. So, we got, Monte Harrison, the big man, the unk of the team, probably. He's apparently looking, you know, pretty good, more conditioned than he was last year, but the guy's a football player. I mean, was playing professional baseball, and he's like, you know what? I want to go run around with, you know, guys way younger than me and get hit in the helmet over and over and go play football somewhere. So, I mean, he's here. I commend him for, I mean, you could see last year, even whenever he was on the field and special teams, he's making tackles. He's out there for block plays. I mean, he's doing whatever he can. He wants to play football.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
A couple of returning receivers I think could have some upside. C.J. Brown, the kid from Bentonville. He played a little bit last year. He had some mistakes, but I mean, the fact that he was making a few mistakes, but Bobby kept putting him out there. I mean, Bobby's seeing something in practice. He's got faith in that kid. Hopefully he takes a big skill jump this year. Also, the Jordan Anthony, the Texas A&M transfer. Yeah. He's still on the roster. I mean, he's been winning track meets at Arkansas this year. So, I mean, and that's a hard program to get in, and he's one of the best sprinters we got right now. So, and he had some big highlight plays last year for the team. So hopefully we can find a way to utilize him this year again. I mean, Talen can throw that ball far. I sent him out there running, make some big plays.
Yep. You got Cam Shake. He's a redshirt sophomore transfer. Apparently he's looking all right. Raylan Sharp. He's looking all right. I mean, you got a couple of these guys. We just need, you know, I don't want to, obviously, you're going to hear this guy's looking good, and we got 9 guys that look great. Who are they even going to travel? And then turns out, you know, we have 1.5 receivers, you know, so we just need some type of consistency. between, you know, three or four guys, and then, you know, have someone else that can step up. You don't want two guys. I mean, we had a bunch of receivers dropping the football last year, and no one else was coming. I mean, it's multiple games. We had like drops, like third and four, and the guy's wide open on a slant route, and he just dropped it. And you're like, and then the next game, they make the same mistake, and there's no one there. So we just need some depth there. But upside wise, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's still early, but it's Arkansas football. I'm going to be excited about it. I'm going to talk myself into whatever I think is going to happen, whatever I want to positively.
I think another thing about Cam Shanks that you were talking about, the UAB transfer, I know he won like returner of the year for whatever conference UAB's in. So maybe he won't be the biggest offensive weapon. I hope he is. Maybe he won't be, but he can step in and take over Satania's returning role. We need a good returner.
I forgot that he was the UAB receiver.
Mm-hmm. He actually scored on us when we played him last year.
Yeah. All right, moving over to the defensive side of the ball, led by Travis Williams. I'm so glad he's back. I mean, I was scared he was going to go somewhere. I'm sure he had his opportunities.
I'm sure he'd probably go somewhere after this season.
To me, from what I've seen, starting off a defense is probably going to be like, you're not going to know who I'm going to say, but Quincy Rhodes looks very, very good. He just looks massive. I mean, he's 6'6". He's the biggest defensive lineman we have for sure, like height-wise. Hopefully he can do something. I mean, with that size, man, just figure it. He's got it. If he didn't have it, he wouldn't be here. They don't just, you know, I'm sure they have a bunch of guys walking around campus up there that are 6'6". You know, this guy's got tools. He's just got to put it together, you know, and that's a person, not including transfers. That's just a guy that I'm just excited to see. Like, we need more depth at that position, and that's a guy that I know has it. He has the tools. He just needs to put it together.
He's a Little Rock guy, too, and I follow him on Twitter. He's posting about the Hogs. I mean, he seems to be all in, so hopefully he can put it together skill-wise this year, really take a leap.
Yeah. We got top cornerback transfer in the country, Keyshawn DeVille. He's only 6'1". He's pretty thin, but he is quick. He's probably going to start somewhere, nickel or, you know, out on the outside. You got to replace some guys, so.
I've watched some of his JUCO highlights. I mean, I know it's JUCO ball, but I mean, there's some elite JUCO football being played nowadays. Very good. And all his highlights, he's real quick. He's staying with his receiver, staying on his man. He just looks like a ball hawk type of corner, which is someone we really need.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, there's JUCO players that show up every year in college and go crazy. So, I mean, we've had JUCO guys that have came in and have been able to perform at a very high level, even in the Sam Pittman.
Andrew Armstrong.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yes, Andrew Armstrong. That's like probably the best thing you can say for like just that purpose. Just, we can't look at, obviously you can't talk to these guys. We don't know what they're going to do. Obviously it's the third, fourth day of training camp, but you got to be a little bit excited to hear, you know, we're not there, but we trust the guys that are saying, well, this guy, you know, he looks good, you know, so we're going to talk about him. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. There's really not that much defense. I mean, unless you want to talk about some guys.
Got Sorry back. That's big to me. I just think it's going to be down to people stepping up on the defensive line like you're talking about, and then which of these defensive backs are going to step up. Because, I mean, I think we have Singletary back, a five-star transfer from Georgia. I mean, he's not a five-star for no reason. He's got the tools to make plays and step up and take over. So hopefully he can do that. And I really think Selman Bridges is going to have a good season this year. Top corner we got last year, he didn't play very much, but when he did get in, he's just a guy that looks like an NFL cornerback. He's tall, long, just looks like a guy that should be able to make things happen. And hopefully he can take that leap this year.
Yeah. It's all going to depend. Like, I think the DBs are going to be fine. Obviously depth at the defensive line. They got that transfer portal window opening up at the toward the end of April. Should be able to get a guy or two. We'll see. I don't know how many scholarships or whatever they got going on over there.
I'm sure we'll have some people leave during that portal opening, so that'll open up some spots.
Yeah. Like you said, defensive line, going to have to get a pass rush. Your secondary can be the best in the country, but if you're not getting the quarterback, those guys are going to get open. So,
I think what's going to help that is Travis Williams. He's going to send that blitz. He's going to have Sori through there. Sori's a guy who got to the quarterback a lot last year. So the D-line can just step up, like you're saying, be average. They're going to have the help. They just have to put in the work themselves to help out the rest of the defense.
Yep. I think they're going to be able to scheme up something, you know. So we'll see. I'm excited. I know it's early, but you know, it's football. Football's coming up, so I'm excited about it.
Every Travis Williams defense has outperformed their skill level, I would say, every season, especially in big games like that Tennessee game. I mean, that's an offense that we shouldn't have been able to stop that he shut down. So I got faith in whatever Travis Williams is cooking up that he'll make something happen.
Yep, and better take advantage of it because, like you said, he's probably going to be gone after this year. So yeah, that's it. That's it for football. I mean, we got baseball playing a series against Ole Miss. I know they lost yesterday. Tough game. Lots of mistakes. I mean, obviously, losing a game like that. I mean, we're better than Ole Miss, I think, at least on paper. Need a little bit, you know, not fumble the ball off your foot and not give up 10 runs out of your bullpen.
That was just a weird game in general, too. I mean, we were making a lot of defensive, but I feel like Ole Miss was, too, just maybe not as much. And, I mean, our pitching has been so good all year. They didn't pitch as well today. You're going to have off games. I'm not going to worry about everybody that you listen to in the baseball world loves Zach Root as our ace. Like, they think he's the world of him that I hear. So, I mean, if he had a bad day, that happens. If it happens 2 months straight or a month straight, I might start to worry. But just pitching and defense wasn't very good. And they actually hit very well. Well, they batted pretty good. They batted well, but they didn't hit good, if that makes sense. They were getting deep in the counts. I mean, it was the fourth inning, and they had that pitcher at 60, 70 pitches. We just weren't getting on base that well or getting home runs till the end of the game when we started putting some runs up.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point. I mean, yeah, he had a rough day. But also, these pitchers, I mean, yes, there's going to be a couple guys that are going to be starters all year long, but they've still got to figure out some sort of rotation. All these guys that are pitching right now are not going to be pitching at the end of the year. I mean, he's going to have to cut it down once you get to crunch time, and they're going to win a lot of baseball games. This team is not, you know, they start out 0-1. They may win the series. You know, they're probably going to have to play a doubleheader, but they can still win the series. I mean, this is not, you know, the end of the world that they lost a baseball game yesterday, in my opinion.
I'm not going to lose my mind about losing a game to a top 15 SEC team on opening game weekend. The SEC baseball is so loaded.
Yeah.
You're not going to go undefeated.
Yeah. And the SEC may have, you know, could have another three teams in the College World Series this year. So we'll see. I mean, Tennessee is going to be good. They're undefeated as far as I know. I know they were 17-0. Arkansas is now 16-2. And then Ole Miss is whatever. I mean, they just beat us. So it doesn't matter what their record is. They got a good ball club. So we'll see. You got anything else?
Not that. Just I think we talked about how the baseball game is probably going to be canceled today. Probably a doubleheader tomorrow. So I'll be keeping my eyes on that.
Yep. And I want to close it out with, you know, Arkansas lost a legend. Oliver Miller passed away at the age of 54. It's sad. See, you know, he's a guy, you know, we're both too young to remember him playing, but I know he's on that part of that 1990 Final Four team, 1992 Southwest Conference Player of the Year. I mean, He was a ball player 8 years, 8 or 9 years in the NBA. I mean, you're not a scrub if you're playing almost a decade in the league. I know he played with like Charles Barkley and all that. I'm sure that was fun. But I just remember seeing him at like he would travel to the tournament games whenever Jalen and Devo and them were on the team. He was like in Vegas at the Elite Eight or whatever it was. So I just
He's a big time Razorback legend, like you said, and he lived and breathed Arkansas. I followed him on Twitter as well. every game he's posting about it, every game he's invested. I mean, just a guy who loved the state, loved the Hogs, so rest in peace.
Yeah. Big O, you will be missed, man, Arkansas. Arkansas, I appreciate you for what you did, and yeah, I just wanted to end it on that. I appreciate everybody tuning in, watching, again, for all the support. I mean, it means a lot to us. This is what we want to do, you know, and we're just going to get better at it. So, yeah, we'll see you on the next one. Everybody have a good weekend and stay safe.